Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come
aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour space station social. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, New Mexico to New Jersey, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan studio, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way, to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you being part of the DA show this morning. It's a big one on a Trash Tuesday, since it is a TT. We encourage you to tweet at us those things or those people that tend to get you aggravated. Who are you trashing? We shall read through your trashes throughout the morning by tweeting at me, DA on CBS, or dialing us up at 855-212-4227. But also, you can hit us up on Facebook as well, at facebook.com/TheDAShow. We'll do our trashes coming up here on the show a little over an hour from now. Also this morning, it's March Madness time, and so we'll go inside the bracket and the tickets already punched and conference tournaments in full swing with Pete Gillen, our good friend. This weekend, the major conference tournaments hold their championships, and so Pete Gillen will join us, one of our faves from CBS Sports Network, coming up in about 35 minutes from now. Also, later on in the show, a little mid-major mothership with Bradley's head coach, Brian Wardle, as Bradley wins the Missouri Valley Conference in the conference tournament. And so we'll talk to Brian Wardle, head coach of Bradley, about their entrance into the NCAA tournament. Also this morning, are the Jets winning free agency? Can Nick Foles save the Jaguars? And the most exciting tradition of the year, a tradition unlike any other, annually, we get together the weird-flavored Lay's potato chips and taste test them on air. You will love to hear the crunching of the potato chip in your ear in stereo. We'll do that coming up in hour number three. So any of those topics you want to jump in on, do it up. Again, at 855-212-4227. Last night, an ugly scene in Salt Lake where Russell Westbrook, coming in with a member as a member of the Thunder, gets into a verbal spat with a pair of fans during the second quarter. In it, Russell Westbrook has some choice words for the fan, a Jazz fan. And remember that Russell Westbrook has a history in Utah. Last year in Salt Lake, he's leaving the tunnel and there's a fan that's on the guardrail as he's exiting the tunnel, really laying into him. And Russell Westbrook pauses, stops, and kind of flinches towards the guy, and the guy immediately recoils back. Tough guy, wants to get in a player's face. The moment the player reacts, suddenly he becomes real soft. Russell Westbrook talked about the verbal abuse he feels like he has gotten in Salt Lake more than any other road venue. So it carries over into last night. And Westbrook starts shouting at this fan. Westbrook starts shouting obscenities at this fan. And it becomes an ugly, angry scene. Westbrook saying, "I'll bleep you up. I'll bleep you up. I ain't playing. Everything that I love, I'll bleep you up." He also brings the fan's wife into it, says, "I'll bleep you up, you and your wife," because apparently this guy was going after Russell Westbrook, made references to being on his knees because he was icing up his knees, and Westbrook says he heard the fan's wife, actual girlfriend, say something of the sort as well. So it became ugly, became vicious, and we have an incident, once again, of fans getting too close to the players. And if you saw the video that went viral over the weekend of a soccer match in England, it was one of the ugliest sights of fan altercations with a player, incidents with a player in a long time. Soccer player is walking away from the fans towards the center of the field, and a fan jumps the fence, runs onto the pitch, and takes a huge swing, roundhouse right punch to the guy's face from behind. Luckily, the player was not hurt or not injured seriously, but it's a scary moment where you have a fan jumping onto the field to play, running at a player who's not looking and coming up from behind. Luckily, that fan didn't have a weapon. Luckily, that fan didn't knock out the player with some type of hit to the head, hit to the skull, or seriously injure him. But it was a terrifying moment, I'm sure, for every soccer player on that field and everybody in that league. So we have a couple of incidents right now of fans getting too close to the players. Here is Russell Westbrook, and here is the fan, Shane Kiesel, who told his side of the story as well. Should Westbrook have ignored the hostile fan? It is where we begin your cold open.
Said a swear word to him, and everybody in the vicinity will say it, and she never left her seat, never said a word, hands in her lap, never said a single swear word to him, not one. So like I said, initially I was like, oh, I'm talking with Westbrook, you know, I mean, the guy's one of the greats, but he's also classless. I don't care, he can threaten me all he wants. I was the one talking to him, but don't threaten a woman. Welcome to the NBA, Jen.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That audio of the fan courtesy of KSL in Salt Lake. Russell Westbrook is a hothead. Russell Westbrook plays emotionally. Russell Westbrook tries to capture the fury and the fire within himself to go out and push himself to next levels. Unbelievable athletic achievements. And that's why we love him, by the way. People love Russell Westbrook because he plays with a fury and a fire that we don't see with a lot of guys. There is a crazy competitor within, and he uses that to push him to be one of the greats. And this jerk, Shane Kiesel, is such a punk and such a fake tough guy. Because here he is on TV going, "I mean, we didn't say anything wrong. We were just having some good old fun. I was just trying to talk to him." Man, that's not part of the game. It's not. It is too bad Russell Westbrook engaged. It is. It's too bad because then that gives an idiot like Kiesel some gratification, some satisfaction. But the fact is this. This dude thinks that part of the game is getting involved in a spat with a player. It's not. That is not part of the game. More of the comments that you hear as you listen to this guy justify his actions is, we were just having some good old fun. I mean, he and I were going back and forth. Stop. That's where you know you've gone too far, because that's not part of your ticket. And I think that because we live in this mass media world where these guys feel closer than ever before, some fans might go to a game and assume it's like being on Twitter. I'll just tweet at him. And it's not. That guy's job is not to jaw with you. That guy's job is not to engage with you. That guy's job is to play basketball. And you want to know how I know Shane Kiesel, Jazz fan, is a phony, is a fraud, and is a punk? Because he had a tweet dug up from last year that said, Westbrook is a piece of classless bleep. Somebody needs to kick his ass. Hashtag tool, hashtag poor loser. Oh yeah, that sounds like a guy that went to the game and just had a couple of fun anecdotes to tell Russell Westbrook, right? No, this is a guy that believes a player should have his ass kicked and calls a player a piece of bleep for what? For what? And then Kiesel's going to turn around and play the Dennis the Menace card. Oh, shucks, I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, man, Mrs. Johnson, I can't believe Russell got so mad at us because we didn't say anything out of line. I mean, stop. Just quit it. Russell Westbrook, it's too bad he engaged. It is. It's too bad he engaged. But that does not give the green light to fans to say anything they want because players are just supposed to turn the other cheek. It doesn't. If you are calling out a guy and you're that close to the player and it's vulgar and it's crude, then you do deserve to get kicked out of a game. And you do deserve to be called names and be a laughingstock because you as a fan have crossed that line. They're not there to engage with you. You're not there to call them anything that you want to. A fan that calls a player a piece of classless bleep has told me all I need to know about him as a fan. Russell Westbrook's never been involved in crime, domestic violence. He's never been accused of a violent crime. But you're going to call him a classless piece of bleep? You've got the problem. This fan is the ultimate punk and fake tough guy. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us up on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, NFL free agency is here and in full swing, even though it's only the tampering period, but we've got a lot of money changing hands. Are the New York Jets right now the big winners? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I have no real will towards Damon Amendola.
Joe, I love you.
Damon. All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, there's so much love around here on the DA show. It's just oozing from our pores. Welcome inside a DA show's Trash Tuesday. So hit us up with your trashes by simply tweeting at me, DA on CBS. I'll read through those throughout the morning. Also get to my own trash and the rest of the show's trashes coming up in hour number two. And remember, you can always listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network by listening to all of our wonderful affiliates nationwide and north of the border. And also, you can listen to us on SiriusXM, Channel 206. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, over on CBS Sports Network, it's the Colonial Athletic Association's championship game, the CAA, as two teams leave it all on the line for a ticket to the big dance. It's Bracket Week on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah! As always, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. AJ tweets, DA, while I agree it's not part of the player's job to engage, isn't that the nuance? Russell shouldn't have engaged, but fans should be able to jeer and cheer. While I don't jeer hard myself, I need to be convinced it's not part of the right of a paying fan to do so. Look, I think we know the line. Let's not get mixed up in ridiculous gray area rationalizations. Okay, booing, fine. Telling a player to get on his knees, not fine. And I got a hard time believing that this nice old Jazz fan that wants to insist he's just a good guy and didn't say anything wrong is that, considering he has tweeted before that Russell Westbrook is a classless piece of bleep and needs to have his ass kicked. You're telling me that guy says that on Twitter and then gets into an altercation with Russell Westbrook and doesn't say the same thing? I got a hard time believing that. And we all know there's the line. There's the line. You cannot expect human beings to take all forms of abuse and not be affected by it. And this is what I was talking about social media last week. Mraz is a good person. He's generally a good dude, but in his mind, you should be able to say anything you want, and that player should be able to ignore it. This is what you do on Twitter. You go after everybody and troll them looking for a reaction and expect them not to react because they should be above it.
I disagree. I expect them to react, but I just have to laugh as they react.
There is a line, though. You can't expect everybody to just ignore your stuff and then they're at fault if they react. If this guy said awful things to Russell Westbrook, yes, would it be ultimately awesome if Russell Westbrook was never emotionally affected by it? It would be great. But human beings are affected by it. Everybody's affected by it. And so for Russell Westbrook to react, does that mean that fan should be able to say anything he wants and let's just hope every player can ignore it?
No, he shouldn't be able to say anything he wants. Therein lies the problem. We're seeing this over and over again, near benches and everything. Where are arena security not letting it get to that point? The moment this guy says anything awful like that, throw him out. Get him right out of the arena.
Throw him out.
I think you're leading players to get to this point. I don't agree with what Russell Westbrook said last night. Me and you on opposite ends of that. I don't think you should be threatening anybody. I think as an athlete, you should be above that. But from the spectrum of he's a person, there's only so much you could take. The arenas need to do a better job of getting these guys out.
Okay, so is there anything this fan could have said that you would say, you know what, Russell Westbrook, that's okay for him saying that?
I mean, you could tell a guy he's an opponent. You want to tell the guy, you know, he sucks, you're not as good as Durant, you know, have fun like that. I think that's totally fair.
But what about if this guy said exactly what he tweeted?
I think that's over the line.
And that's over the line, and that would be okay that Russell Westbrook snapped back.
I don't know. Well, listen, I think they're snap back and snapping back. I think Russell Westbrook as the athlete should be getting his security team and saying, get this guy out of my face, get him out of here,
okay, but
and throw
again,
him out.
What is something that the fan can say that would validate in your mind Russell Westbrook clapping back? The reaction you saw last night, what could he say? Something racist?
I think racism, yes.
Okay. So he can say something racist. Then you go, okay, Russell Westbrook's okay for clapping back.
Yeah, now the difference is, though, I would have had less of a problem with what Russell Westbrook said last night if he didn't bring the guy's wife into it, whether she was saying something or not.
But if she's saying the same stuff, what? So a woman then can say anything that they want to a player and the player can't react?
No, but I think this thing,
if it's vile and vulgar?
If it's vile and vulgar, you can't threaten to hit a woman no matter what. You just can't do it in today's climate. You can't do it in any climate.
But if she is 5 feet away and saying the same thing her husband is saying or her boyfriend is saying,
you got to say anything else but promoting the idea that you will physically hit her. You can't. You cannot be talking about provoking physically hitting women. You just can't.
I think that's generally speaking, yes, correct. you really shouldn't be, generally speaking, on and kick anybody's ass verbally if you can help it. But I'm just saying we can't give fans this 100% 24/7 pass because players get a lot of money and they should be above it. And we can't also say, based on your gender, you're allowed to say anything that you want, no matter how close or far you are from a player. I mean, then that's just giving people the right to say really awful things like we do on Twitter all of the time.
I guess my point would be, do you think Russell Westbrook's the only one who hears really vulgar things like this? I'm sure a lot of athletes do and they handle it better than Westbrook. And I'm sure, to me, the best way to do it is you have a team full of security on the bench. You have security guards in this arena. You have to go alert somebody. There should be a handler on each team to point out somebody's security. And the guy's got to get thrown out. Him and his wife or girlfriend, throw them out. Can't be saying that kind of thing to the player. But it can't lead to the point where a player can say those things about physically harming a fan. You just can't have that connection connect. The fan is not right here. But the arena and stadiums and security teams need to do a better job of getting these guys out and not allowing Russ Westbrook to get there.
I wonder, though, if Russell Westbrook has been in this arena before and has been heckled before.
Well, he has. The playoffs last year.
I wonder if he doesn't have any support there. I wonder if he knows that there is no security that's going to step in for him because he's the opposing player. And maybe he feels like, you know what, I'm on enemy territory and there's nothing I can do to get security at this guy and to get him kicked out. In which case, if arena security sides on the home fan side, what can a player really do? I mean, maybe you should have team security at the end of the bench.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I know this probably sounds ridiculous and maybe a scene out of The Sopranos, but each team should have traveling with them kind of like their personal security slash guy you would send if somebody wasn't paying the bookie, if you will. And not to go beat anybody up, but, you know, speak to arena security. If arena security is not going to handle it, a little muscle. Send that guy to go speak to them. Say, do we have a problem here? And kind of, you know, put the fear in them to shut the heck up. How about that? I mean, I think that's totally fair. Instead of putting the player in that point of view, right now Russell Westbrook looks like a fool.
I would agree, yes. A layer of protection would be ideal here so that Russell Westbrook doesn't feel like he's vulnerable 5 feet away from a guy that's saying stuff like get on your knees or belong on your knees or whatever he was saying that Russell Westbrook thought he was saying or did hear him saying. And again, this guy is saying, I never said anything bad, but I got a tough time believing that considering he has been vile on Twitter before directly towards Russell Westbrook.
Of course. And look, we've all, and it doesn't matter, you can all deny it, we have all said something we've regretted in the heat of the moment in some kind of argument to whoever. It could be a friend, a family member, anything like that. I'm sure we've regretted it. Russell Westbrook has to regret the fact that he even said that to that woman or said, I will, you know, bleep you and your wife up. You just cannot. No matter what the woman is saying, you cannot threaten physical violence on a woman. We're trying to get away from that in this day and age in sports and society. You just cannot say that under any circumstance.
That's fair. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. I know a lot of you guys want to weigh in on the Russell Westbrook situation. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, this Jazz fan is such a lying bag. How come you can come out and say you didn't say anything to Westbrook live, but then blast him a year ago on Twitter? This dude is a liar, straight up. A lot of thoughts on this, which we'll get to. I will say, though, that NFL free agency in full swing, and dare I say that the Boddy Bilotti's Jets are right now an early winner in the NFL free agency pool. Now, realize this is rarefied air. Because Bilotti's teams are always a disaster, whether they're his baseball team, his basketball team, his hockey team, his football team, or his AAF team. They're all a disaster. I don't know, who's your favorite wrestler? Is he a tomato can? Does he always get beat?
No, I actually like the champions, so that actually works.
Okay, so that works out for you. But, you know, you have the New York Jets, who have made a couple of big moves and now are acquiring C.J. Mosley, potentially the best linebacker on the market. They've added a nice Jamison Crowder slot receiver to Sam Darnold yesterday on the offense. They're plugging holes on the defense, and they might still have money to go out and get Le'Veon Bell. Dare I say, Mraz, that Pete the Body Bilotti's forlorn football franchise, his second one behind the Memphis Express, is actually the big winners right now of free agency.
Look, if you're a Jet fan and you're not excited, then you're just forever a beaten man. How could you not be pumped up? Right now, the Jets are owning this. They're doing what the Rams and Eagles did with a rookie quarterback contract. Go get something done now with Sam Darnold. Go win some hardware. First time in my life in New York, I'm saying I think the Jets got a shot here.
Win some hardware? You're putting them in the Super Bowl
already? I'm not putting them in the Super Bowl, but in the next 3 years, would I be stunned in the next 3 years if the Jets are in a Super Bowl? My answer to that would be no.
Wow! Okay, so 2019, 2020, 2021. By 21, you would not be shocked if the Jets are in the Super Bowl.
Now, be careful the wording
you
there.
You have never seen this in your life.
Never
watch
seen
your husband go to Super Bowl?
Be careful about wording there. I am not picking them, but okay. I am not going to sit there and go, oh, I'm stunned the Jets are in the Super Bowl. Sam Darnold's the goods, and you've got to capitalize when teams have rookie quarterback contracts. And right now the Jets seem to be capitalizing, making the right signings. I wouldn't be stunned.
Well, that is true. Remember that once you have your quarterback, which is traditionally the highest paid player on your roster, on a rookie deal, you can afford to spend money right now. So smartly, the Jets are saying, okay, under Mike Maccagnan, let's spend the money now before we've got to re-up Sam Darnold. And so you got a couple of years here. They get Anthony Barr. They get C.J. Mosley. They bring in Jamison Crowder. And suddenly the Jets roster is taking shape a little bit.
They're in on Le'Veon Bell, too.
The Bell thing is huge because he's really – Mosley's great. That's a tremendous pickup for them. The Le'Veon Bell, though, that's the game changer. And if the Jets swing Lev Bell – then they truly are the winner of winners in NFL free agency. But until then, I got to pump the brakes on them being crowned the winner of all winners. Let's see where Le'Veon Bell goes because he is the brightest jewel in free agency. And if he goes somewhere else, say the Raiders get him, and the Raiders swung both Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, you'd probably have to crown the Raiders as the winners.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. The Raiders got the best potential player available, Antonio Brown. But, geez, Jets get Le'Veon Bell. Could you imagine? That would mean the Giants use a second overall pick on a guy who wouldn't even be the best running back in town, huh?
855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. There's only one part of the Jets offseason I really, really, really regret and I resent and I fear. The uniform change. They've leaked some ideas and concepts about what the uniform might look like. Apparently, the Jets are changing the uniform. And Bilotti, from what I've seen so far, I'm really terrified that they are going to give it Nike treatment and screw it up.
There's also talk that those pictures are not exactly the uniform is going to be. I think it's going to be a little bit of a mix of the Color Rush uniforms and the old Jet logo from like the 80s. If they do something like that, then it's a win.
The Ken O'Brien Al Toon logo. I love those jerseys.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something like that. A lot of green. I can see a lot of green.
A lot of green. Mraz, are you suddenly green with envy?
I'm a little jealous. A little jealous. I'm not going to lie. The Jets got something cooking here. Go to Super Bowl!
Super Bowl! 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Andrew Bogish, you are rolling your eyes at what?
Oh, the two of those fools through there.
Why?
Well, first of all, I'm stunned that Sean wouldn't be stunned that the Jets would make the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. They are the Jets.
Go to Super Bowl!
And how many straight lines do we draw from off-season champs to actual champions? So, I mean, it's great. Now, congratulations. These are good moves, Mosley in particular. Bell certainly is a game changer, but it's March. They are the Jets, and they play with the Patriots for at least the next 2 years. Going to have a very useful Tom Brady. So good luck even getting out of the AFC.
That's a real bucket of rainwater right on Bilotti.
There you go.
You sound angry.
No, not angry. Not angry.
Bitter.
Just no, not bitter either. There might be some envy that, you know, you don't have an elderly quarterback wasting the first couple of good years of Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr., but that's fine.
I think you're just upset at your Giants, and you're just taking it out on the Jets celebrations.
No, listen, if you want to have celebrations for C.J. Mosley and Anthony Barr, go ahead. It's all for you. More bothered by Sean.
Stop raining on Bilotti's parade.
Never.
That happens enough. When we come back.
On every day, D.A.
When we come back, we'll talk about March Madness and tickets being punched with Pete Gillen, our friend from CBS Sports Network. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Hey, good morning, DA. Big fan of yours. I'm a big football fan. I love tailgate. It's great how you can drink alcohol in the morning. Otherwise, people are always saying, hey, Chris, what are you running away from? And I'm like, no, I'm just tailgating.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
44 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. If you're on your phone, you can listen to us using the CBS Sports app or radio.com or Apple Music or watch us at watchda.com with the simulcast that's available on any device. Joining us to talk a little college basketball as we get ready to fill out our brackets at the end of the weekend, our good friend Pete Gillen from CBS Sports Network, college basketball analyst. Mr. Pete Gillen, good morning. How are you?
Fine, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. Such a fun time of the year as college basketball fans like you and me. And let's start with Wofford, because Wofford is in, and we just talked Wofford last week with their head coach. And the thing is, they're not a low major. They're legit good. How high would you seed Wofford in the tournament?
Well, DA, that's a good question. They're legitimate. You know, they do a great job. They've been in the tournament before. I'd have them, I'd say a 12. I'd give them a 12. Once again, I'm not the greatest at picking seeds, but I give them a little respect. I think 12 is pretty good for a school in that conference.
Okay, so I had heard that perhaps they were going to get a 7, something as high as that. Yes, even out of the SoCon, and we talked to Mike Young. He's got quad one type of quality wins in there, and the SoCon was really competitive this year, but you think that's crazy.
I think it's a little crazy. Once again, I love Mike Young. I coached against him when I was at Virginia one of my last years. We played Wofford. Class guy. He's done a wonderful job. You know, he's been there 16 years, you know, so I'm a big fan of Mike's, and, he's a class guy, but I think that's a little high. But once again, they're under the analytics, they're studying every drop, but I think it's a little high. Southern Conference is a good league, but they'd have trouble against teams from the power conferences, the 6th, 7th place teams, they'd have trouble with them, I think.
If you were Coach K, how would you handle Zion in the ACC tournament and then ultimately the NCAA tournament?
It's a great question, D.A. I'm stunned he's playing, to be honest with you. If I'm his parents or his dad, his relatives, I say, listen, now you're the number one seed, you're set for life, you're number one pick, rather, you're set for life. You get nothing to gain by playing. So I'm stunned if he's going to play. They said he will. If I'm Coach Cato, if he does play, I'm resting him the first game, and then and play him back and forth, and don't overload the socket.
Interesting. So when Zion went down, your assumption was he wouldn't play the rest of the year, including in the tournament.
Yes, that's what I would do. That's my assumption. Once again, I didn't see it live. The game, I had a game that day, but I saw replays of it, and I said, why risk it? Why you're setting yourself up for life and your family and your children and grandchildren? You know, why take a chance of ripping your Achilles or tearing your ACL or getting hurt? You know, but he's a terrific young man. I heard he loves his teammates. He loves playing. So I will not be shocked if he plays. But if I was advising him, I would say don't play.
Pete Gillen joins us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. There's always going to be a question with Virginia, because Virginia lost to UMBC last year, but also that Virginia has these incredible regular seasons, and they're so great defensively, but offensively, we don't know if we can trust them in March. Do you trust this Cavs team more than recent years when they've been very high seeds?
Yes, I do. I think they're a different team. I think they got a chip on their shoulder from the last year's first-round exit. And as you know, DeAndre Hunter did not play last year in the first game. He still might have lost. I'm not saying that, but that was a big missing part for the Cavaliers. I think they're going to do much better. I think they're going to make a deep run. You got three terrific guys on the perimeter, Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter, and Diakite comes off the bench. He's a pretty good athlete. So I think they're going to do real well. I think they got a great shot at getting to the Final Four this year because they're on a mission. And sometimes they struggle offensively, but against your alma mater, DA, 18 of 25, 72% from downtown, so that's pretty good.
Yep, they ripped apart the Syracuse zone defense and were amazing in that second half. Let's talk about Gonzaga, because Mark Few, we always know, has done an amazing job building that program into what it is. But, I mean, this year he's the number one team in the country and could be the number one overall seed. I'm going to assume that this is the best team Mark Few has ever had. By how much, how dangerous are they to cut down the nets in April?
Well, I think they are dangerous. Once again, they don't go through the iron in that league, in all due respect to the West Coast Conference. You know, they're not challenged night after night. So when they get in to the Sweet 16, get in the Elite Eight, you know, they can't have a bad game. I don't know if that's the best team. I mean, they've had some great teams before. I think they're very good. Rui Hachimura is terrific. You know, the big young man from Japan, I think he's done a great job. And the addition of Brandon Clark, that transfer, from San Jose State, is a tremendous get for them. So, I think they're very good. I don't know if this is the best team. I think they're very good. I think at times Perkins is a little shaky, the point guard. So I think they're one of the best DA, but I wouldn't go as far as saying they're the best. I think the 2 years ago when I got to the championship game was definitely a better team than them.
What do you think the effect of the FBI wiretap, the suspension for Will Wade right now, will have on LSU? They're a top 10, top 15 team. Without any of this, they certainly would have been a dangerous out of the NCAA tournament. What do you think the effect is going to be on the Tigers going into March Madness?
I think it's going to hurt. A lot of times, your players are oblivious. They just go play. They don't worry about it. But I think losing your boss, I think that hurts them and the head coaches. Not that he's sick, he's suspended. So I think it's going to be in the back of their mind. I think they still got a chance to win one or two games, but I don't think they'll go as far as they could have with the head coach there, something is rotten in Denmark right now, with the atmosphere around the program. So I think that it's going to hurt them. I don't think they'll go as far as they could. I think they could get to the Sweet 16, but I don't think they'll go any further. I just don't think they're, we're completely in sync now because of the cloud over the program.
Pete Gillen joins us from CBS Sports Network. Talk to me about Tennessee, because Vols fans would have you, say this is a great Vols team. They've proven it every step of the way. You can't count them out. And then others say, well, are they paper champions, paper Tigers right now? Do you believe in the Vols once we get into the NCAA tournament?
I do. Rick Barnes, I think, is an outstanding coach, a terrific defensive coach. I followed him when he left Providence to go to Clemson. I left Xavier to come to the Big East to play coach at Providence. And he left a great foundation there. Grant Williams is a tremendous player, one of the best players in the country. So I think they got a nice foundation. Admiral Schofield is terrific. Another senior, 6'6 senior. So I think they're legitimate. Once again, they had a couple of bumps in a row to get pounded by Kentucky once, lost some games. But I think they're legit. I think they got a great chance to get to the Final Four.
Your analysis is great, but your storytelling is even better. What's your favorite story from this year on the road? You have called so many games with my good friend Carter Blackburn, who's a friend of the show as well, on CBS and CBS Sports Network. Was there a good road trip, a great environment, a great meal? What was the greatest moment for Pete Gillen this season?
Well, there's a lot of great moments. We were fortunate. Carter Blackburn is one of the best broadcasters alive, dead, or yet to be born. I mean, he's tremendous. I'm partial, but he's a great play-by-play guy. And I'm lucky to be with him very often during the season. One thing that was stunning to me, we had a great game up in Logan, Utah State, against Nevada. Tremendous game, and Utah State won the game. It was hard fought, and they won. The crowd went crazy. They stormed the court, and we couldn't see anything, and people are jumping. And we had a statistics guy who was supposed to help Carter out. He didn't help out at all. He goes out, he's cheering with the fans. He was like Joe Bag of Donuts. I said, Carter and I are looking at each other. I asked him, hey, can you give me the turnovers? He didn't give me nothing. Oh, God, I got nothing. I got donuts. I got donuts from him, and Carter's got blotches on his neck from not getting any help from the guy. Carter still did a great job, but he was cheering his face off. And then next day I find out there's a brouhaha, in the line with Jordan Caroline, something happened. So I didn't even know till the next day. I didn't check my phone, but that was wild. The stat man did not cap the stats. He was cheering. He didn't do anything. Carter just shook his head. I shook my head. I said, what are you doing? He must have connections there to get that seat. He's supposed to help out. He did completely donuts.
Well, the Wolfpack were really upset at the fans streaming down, and there was some type of altercation, and the Wolfpack players and coaches were all upset. I'm glad you didn't get hurt because, I know you're a tough dude, but I don't trust you in the middle of thousands of fans streaming onto the floor to defend yourself.
You're right, D.A. There's a lot of guys after me. You know what I mean? Some enemies, bill collectors, my wife's old boyfriends. I got a lot of guys that are chasing me, D.A., so I got to be careful. A lot of enemies.
That's why you went to Logan, Utah, to get away from all of those guys, because you were worried that they were probably all around here. CBS.
Exactly. Bill collectors.
Yep. Yeah. CBS Sports Network, the Colonial Athletic Association Championship game is coming up tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, as we continue to punch tickets to the big dance. Pete, it's always wonderful to catch up. I'm sure we'll do it again as we get into March Madness, buddy.
Thanks, D.A. Great being on your show.
You got it. Pete Gillen joining us, escaping bill collectors and his wife's old boyfriends in Logan, Utah.
Amazing.
Johnny Bag of Donuts. We got nothing.
Sounds like I was the statistician, by the way.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. We'll talk to Bradley head coach Brian Wardle joining us in hour number three for a little mothership mid-major madness. But when we come back, my question is, has there ever been a statue built of a player in two different cities? Nick Foles? We'll get to that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.